You have your Bible this morning, Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. We have many that are out traveling in the last part of the spring break of Warsaw schools. Some families, individuals are sick with this flu, still going on. But we are so excited about you being here this morning, the body of Christ and our guest. Amen. If we lift Jesus up, he will draw all men unto himself. Not to Community Life Center, but to him. Community Life Center exists for him. Amen? Exists for Jesus Christ. Matthew 3, verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. This is John the Baptist speaking. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That's a promise. I don't think John the Baptist was a liar. So if he said, moved by the Spirit of God himself, so tell those around him that day, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, Acts chapter 2, verse 3 through 4. Familiar scriptures with us. The Word of God is exciting. And at the same time, you can find in the scriptures at least a minimum of 500 times the word fire is used. In the scriptures, God is about fire. Amen? He needs to set some of you on fire. You're not at the funeral home, you know. You're alive. I like when the praise team sings a song about I'm alive. Amen. I'm alive. I don't see too many people standing up in church say, I'm dead. I'm dead. Hallelujah. I'm dead. We are alive. Amen. Glory. I've seen people sleeping before and I had to poke them to make sure they're still breathing. Are they alive or are they lying there unresponsive? Are you coming to church being unresponsive? Pastor has to poke you once in a while to see if you're alive or not. Amen? Oh, that went over really good. I saw that. Yeah. Acts chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You got to check your spirit once in a while. Amen? It's like checking your gas tank. Some people like to go till almost down to empty and then get gas. Except when an emergency arrives and your needle's next to empty and you take off and you run out of gas. Whose fault is that? Whose fault is that? Everybody say mine. Don't you put that over on me and say you. I'm going to focus over here because these people are alive over here. The rest of you are alive over here. Appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. In other words, obviously, what they saw was It looked like flames of fire. The Spirit of God was being active, flickering, bouncing, jumping. How many likes to sit around a fire, you know, like outside camping or whatever, and watch the flickering flames? They're kind of just jumping and bouncing around. I like that. Sister Cox likes that. She'll go camping and endure everything until you get to the evening time when you can have a fire. Fire captivates your mind, mesmerizes you. Just you can't help yourself watching the fire, the flames jumping and flickering and carrying on. Now turn your Bibles in the Old Testament to the book of Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Look at verse 1 through verse 4. As Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flocks to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire. Amen. Who appeared unto him? The Lord. Everybody say, the Lord. Amen. When's the last time you had the Lord appear to you as a flame of fire? Out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire. Yes. How many times have you came to church? Looks like the people are on fire. Yeah. I came to church the first time, to a Pentecostal church, and they were all crazy. Was not normal. It wasn't normal to a Methodist boy where you had the right and the privilege to fall asleep during church. They were up, they were down, they were sideways. What always amazed me, some were crying and some were laughing. Some people used to come just to watch the flame flicker. They come to watch the Pentecostals. Wouldn't it be nice if the city would turn out just to come to church to watch us? Huh? In those days, they didn't have a hang up, you know, about what's those people doing outside the window looking at us. I've been told, and I believe it was true, people would say in that town where there was a Pentecostal church, let's go down and see the show. They'll hop, they'll jump, they'll roll, they'll... Problem was, some of the flame that was burning in those saints' worship jumped on some of those who just came to watch. Oh God, that would happen. Amen. In this assembly. Yes. Notice with me here, the bush burned with fire and the bush was not consumed. In other words, you don't burn out worshiping Jesus. Come on, someone. Oh, I get so tired of coming to church and worship. I got news for you. You won't burn out. Now, you'll burn out in the world. You'll burn out on your job. You'll get tired of getting up and going to work every day. But it should not be so with the church when it comes to church. I can't wait to go to church. I can't wait till the fire burns. Man, it's been cold out in this world. It's been chilly out here around the job. I can't wait to get among the other flames. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. People want to come to see what's going on. I believe there's people in the city who wants to come and experience a Pentecostal, let me just clarify, an apostolic Pentecostal experience. I think they are just wanting to know. I've got business people in this town, ordinary people in this town, who are interested in what we do. They listen to the radio broadcast. There are some Sundays we got more people by the hundreds watching on streaming than are sitting in the building. On Wednesday nights, see how quiet isn't it now? Mitchell Wednesday. On Wednesday nights, we have more people watching on streaming than we have people sitting in the church. Now, you may feel the heat watching on the line, but it can't burn you like being here. It can't touch you like being in it. I feel this morning, don't you mess with me this morning. I felt some of your spirit when the pastor down here worshiped this morning. Outside of Joseph's, me and Joseph was doing this deal, worship. Let's see what the pastor's going to do. Pastor, you had fire. You got close to me down here, you wouldn't help yourself by doing the jitterbug. My wife likes to have the house cool. I like to have my heater sitting right in front of me, full force. If I'm going to come to church, I want to have the full force of whom I come to worship and to glorify and magnify for all he has ever done for my life. Somebody with me on that this morning? Hallelujah. You see, the baptism of the Spirit and fire are not some kind of supposed two different kind of baptisms. One of the Spirit and the other of fire, but they are different phases of the same baptism. That is, it is true needs that God has come to take care of. After Jesus had been resurrected from the dead, he appeared unto his disciples. And he, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 5, we have heard, you have heard of me. That is, you have heard of me that I shall baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire, which shall take place not many days hence. Where had they heard this? Where had those disciples heard this? From the prophet John, in exact fulfillment of this promise, we read that on the day of Pentecost, there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. What could be plainer? saints of God, all that John prophesied of was here fulfilled, both Holy Ghost and fire, all in one glorious outpouring of divine power. And when God filled you that day with the infilling of the Holy Ghost into your lives, He gave you the fire to go along with it. What happened to the fire?
We're so happy to have you here today. Our prayer is that God will do something great and you can be moved by it.
Fire represented power. To illuminate. Fire represented the invigorate part. Anybody ever been invigorated? Some people have been vinegarized. I love Jesus, but I hate to be involved with them. That's why people, some people just, their action tells you that. Holy Ghost and fire penetrates every part and assimilates the whole person to the image of God's glory. Moses, the man Moses, God was looking to find a man. Moses had an upbringing that was sort of bad. I mean, they tried to kill him. Tried to kill all the babies, male babies that were born. And so they're trying to kill it, trying to cut off God's promise and purpose. His mama hit him, put him in a reed basket, set him adrift on the River Nile. You cannot stop a person with a purpose. And I'm going to tell you that are sitting here this morning, you were born with a purpose or you would not be sitting here. You were born with a purpose. I don't care how old you are this morning or how young you are, you were born with a purpose. Moses had a purpose. Moses struck a blow for freedom, but was rejected. And he fled to a desert. The reason why sometimes Pentecostals, apostolic especially, are not being who they were designed to be to glorify God is because they feel rejected. Nobody else is worshiping. Nobody else. When I came into this thing, I was born in the fire and I was a part of a congregation that was on fire. They were everyday people who got up and went to work and done their job, came to church, 7, 8, 11 week revivals, lasting into the midnight hour, went home, got in bed, got a couple hours sleep, went to work, got up, and came back to church for another marathon of praise and worship and seeing people baptized in the Holy Ghost and baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. When you get to the fire part of that thing, it's not going to leave you with ashes. You're never going to get burned up completely. You're not going to be wore out. I'm with President Trump. You know, I believe our nation should be great. Why would you want a dumping nation? Why would you want a nation that no one has respect for? Come on now. Oh, you go to that Pentecostal church. I heard so-and-so went down there and they got healed of whatever it was they was sick of. Anybody remember those days? Anybody remember the heat of the fire in those days? Anybody remember the power and the flowing of the Spirit of God in those days?
Amen.
You said those days. Yes.
Who poured water on you? Who poured water on your spirit? Who dampened your spirit? Who told you you couldn't dance anymore? Well, I don't know how to dance. Well, just start out with a two-step. Two forward, two back. Sometimes I feel like I'm too old, so I just stand there and do this. I'm moving, though. I said, I'm a moving, though. I said, I'm a moving, though. I'm a moving, though. I'm a moving, though. Amen. I'm a moving, though.
Right.
Isn't that the craziest preacher ever seen for a while? Haven't you missed that?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's a sweet girl. One morning, I looked up and what to my wondering eyes did appear. Was this dude over there in the corner doing the jitterbug, just prancing, worshiping, praising God. Haven't seen him over there since. Come to think, I haven't seen some of you since doing much anything either. Isn't it amazing that God will give us everything that we ask for or is scheduling for you in the future, and the same time we get that down low, like what was that one dance they used to do? I remember just as I was really young, and they put a rod up and you, the limbo. How low can you go? Some saints can get pretty low. It's safer up here. I'm going back up here. You see, he baptized you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And Moses got attracted by something that wouldn't be consumed. Oh, they'll never last. They won't stay with it very long. It's just a flash in the pan. It's just over. They just come to that church and they won't stay there. They won't last. They just go on. No. That's why people come and see, because you never left the church. You never went out of the church. You stayed with the church, or you went out and you came back. Well, why did you go back to church? Because there was something that was drawing me, the fire, like a moth to a flame. There's a power, something there that I can't live without. The power of God. You see, Moses didn't turn aside because the bush was burning, but because the fire didn't go out.
Amen.
You know what keeps the apostolic church growing? The fire never goes out.
Amen.
Say it with me. Never goes out. Say it again. Never goes out. And when the day the flame goes out, the church is dead. It can't draw anything. A dead, cold church cannot draw anything to it to sustain it. This is why Moses realized there was something awesome. I'm going to tell somebody here, I feel it in the Holy Ghost. I felt it for a while. You see, Moses was a man who felt like he lost his purpose. His reason to live had disappeared. Our world is full of people whose fire has gone out.
Amen.
There are churches that their fire has gone out. People weary and worn, looking for peace that lasts, joy that is not dependent upon circumstances or just simple entertainment. People want purpose. They want a reason to get up in the morning. People are learning there must be more to life than what they have. And the only thing that can change that is when you get to the fire, because they're cold out there in that world. Their spirit is cold. They're dying out in that world. And the only thing that can change their lives is when they get the Holy Ghost and fire into their spirit and they come alive. Once I was blind, but now I see. Once I was dead, but now I'm alive. The power of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. Jeremiah 50:5 said, they shall ask the way to Zion with their faces. Saying, come and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. Hear what he said. There's people out there, you know, I need something going to change my life. Why are you getting to church? Why are you going to church? And they come to a conclusion and says, let's look towards Zion. Let's look towards the kingdom of God. Come on. Lose count of time. I'd come a situation where I was the president, publisher, editor of a daily newspaper. Doing good, great job. God lit in our heart to walk away from that and go into full-time ministry. And it wasn't easy. I'm not telling you that garner any kind of sympathy. We took a little church, and God told me not to take a job. You used to try to support your wife and two children without a paycheck coming in. I didn't think God knew what he's talking about, so I went to a hardware store who was just newly trying to open up and is putting up shelving, and I went there and I got a job. Living in a little fifth wheel trailer that we borrowed out behind the church. I'm gonna give you some old preacher war stories now. Sister Cox was cooking on a charcoal grill. And she'd have to build that fire and that charcoal grill. Like those old timers. I'm telling you, I would go across this country in a Conestoga wagon with her. She is so resourceful. God beat me up like you can't imagine beat me up because I took that job. I felt so bad I quit. Quit. I tell you, I quit. And I went, started knocking on doors, Brother Fruitgate. Hi, my name's Dan Cox, and I'm pastor down at this little church down here, the Pentecostal church. Knocking door. I'd spend days after days, knocking door. Knock. We have a home Bible study. I like to teach you a home Bible study. I reach this one house, knock on the door. I let Sister Cox out at the Kroger store. Mm-hmm. She's going in to buy a few groceries. I knocked on the door, and the person opened the door, and I started talking about God, teaching a Bible study. He said, yeah, come on in here. And he was going to try to convince me that there was three gods. And so I had my Bible study on my arm, and I went in there and sat down. 2 hours later, or maybe 2.5, I happen to remember Sister Cox was at Kroger's. Yeah. And so when I got done and went to Kroger's, she was standing outside, and the ice cream that she had bought was literally dripping out of the cart. Of course, I didn't say anything to her. And I could tell by the look on her face, she was not interested in talking to me. After a while, I couldn't hold anymore. I got so excited. I finally found somebody who wanted to know about God. And I was teaching the whole Bible study. And I just got so involved with it. I just got so on fire with it. Come to find out, his mom and dad, and this is not putting anybody down, but they were Nazarene. And Nazarenes really don't push baptisms. So he sent me up. Oh, by the way, we baptized that man, his wife, 3 kids. He connected with his mom and dad, solid old Nazarenes, who loved God, taught them a Bible study, search for truth, baptized his mom and his dad. He played in a honky-tonk band, and they played in bars and taverns. He hooked me up with one of his lead guitarists, taught him and his wife, kids Bible study, baptized him, his wife, come on, and the kids, and he had a bass player, baptized them. Wow! I'm gonna put Ruth on my evangelistic team. She's so exciting. See, if you don't get involved with the kingdom of God and God's purpose, because you're born for a purpose, after a while, your personal little flame that you had when you first encountered God is gonna flicker out and die. And there's going to be just ashes there. Amen? In 7 years, God did this. Because I was at the altar praying. You see, to do anything, you've got to have a fire to do it. In 7 years, we went from 16 people to 190. You know why a church is not growing? A church is not growing a church that don't have fire. It's not burning.
Your fire's spreading.
Say it again. I just felt a big spirit of encouragement there.
Your fire's spreading.
Fire is spreading. Woo! Come on, let's put your hands together. Come on. Come on. Stand up and say hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Hallelujah!
You got to do that down here as much as you do it up there.
Amen.
I just had to do it. Okay. You just can't come to church and sit there because somebody's going to say one great big word, Jim, that's going to just magnify your life. You know what? You got to kind of fan the flame. Come on. Come on. Come on. Now, I tell you what, there's hope for an Apostolic Pentecostal church because I do know you can set charcoal briquettes on fire. Huh? Now, I'm not calling you a charcoal briquette, but I'm saying this. You may have been a flame at one time. You know how you get charcoal? You take wood and you burn it at a high heat. And you take the ashes and you compact it together. You may put it in a form and get a little briquette out of it. But the good news is, they can be set afire again. A church can be set afire again. And again. And again. You know what it takes when you set a... This is what happened. Churches go to LP gas. Oh, let's have a revival. Okay, click it on. Click, 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 click. Are you with me? How many's got a LP gas thing, and you get really upset when the clicker don't work anymore? I see a raise of hands. You get upset because the clicker don't work anymore? We just get so used to come to church and have Brother Randy kind of click it a little bit and kind of kick it, click it, click it, click it, click it, click it. We'll have a sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, they'll sing, and it's like that LP gas, it's kind of click, click, click. You know what it takes to do a charcoal? They don't want to do it. You get the best eating on a charcoal grill than you do on a gas grill. But the reason why most people have gas grills is it calls the flat too lazy to start a fire. No! It takes too long to start a fire. I want to slap that steak on that thing, go click, 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 click. Eat my steak and go on. But if you want a good Holy Ghost service, it takes a little bit of work. Now here's the deal to get a fire going. You can pour some accelerator on that and strike a match and then run like crazy when you throw it on there. But after a while, that flame will kind of die out. And you're standing there with a paper plate going. Come on, I see a hand who's done that before. Huh? Don't be bashful. Just hold it up there again. What's a paper plate for? You're trying to get air moving. You're trying to fan the flame to get that burning. Some of you are not grasping what this old preacher is saying. Worship is fanning the flames. It's like taking an old paper plate and just trying to get something going. Amen? And all of a sudden, there's times when I was trying to get a charcoal grill going, I wish we had a windstorm would come through because I need a little bit of help. Come on, I needed some breeze blowing through there. Paper plate wasn't getting it. I believe like this, if you just get your little paper plate of worship out, just kind of see if you can get a flame going. Come on. Come on. And all of a sudden, God's going to help you out a little bit. And the Spirit of God, the wind of the Spirit, begins to blow through. Come on. Kicks up the flame and the power of God. Next thing you know, you're broken out into a revival and the power of God's falling. People are healed and bodies are sanctified by the power of God. Woo! Come on, let's magnify the Lord. We need the fire. I said, we need the fire. God's looking for people who still want to have a fire. Come on, not impressed with a flash in the pan. High today and low tomorrow. Fire played an important part in the worship of God in the Bible, and it also does in this 21st century. Led by the fiery cloud out of Egypt. But I tell you what, if you want to get out of the world, get in the fire of God. Come on, if you want to get loose in the world, you're struggling with problems, come on, get in the fire of God. Get in the worship. Get in the praying. Reading the Bible of God. In your home, in your living room, in the car, begin to praise and magnify. Get a fire going on. And the Spirit of God is going to lead you out of that place you're in. Sinai, Lord, descended in fire on that mountain. Mount Carmel, fire fell to confirm. Tabernacle of the temple in Jerusalem, the altar of incense, brazen altar, the candles. It's there. Come on, church. if I never preach another message or try to struggle through one and ever before. I'm going to leave you with something today. If your kids can dance to the music of this world, they need to learn to dance to the worship of the church music. Come on. Come on. Come on. We've let the world put the fire out in us. We're afraid that the world's going to look down on us. One day there's going to be a fire that's going to consume this world. It's going to burn up everything that's in it. Amen. Somebody could say, well, church is boring. That's because you're standing on the edge out here.
There you go, right there. Come on.
I like a good raising fire. You know, we've had some church fellowship and they built a big fire. You get up close to that fire. I'm talking about you get within a couple of feet of it. You stand there about a minute or two and your front's all, you're so hot, 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 hot. And then you turn around. And you say, oh, hot, 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 hot. You see, when you get close to the fire, you begin to feel the effects of it. Amen? I first came into the church, they was acting crazy. Well, we're going to offend. You know, this world's got the church convinced that the church is going to offend the world. They get close enough to it, and it begins to attract them. When I came into the church, I used to play in music, dance. I went to church and they was acting crazy, worshiping. And I'm thinking, they're crazy. But then one day God reversed it upon me. See, remember when you went to the nightclubs, you went to VFW and you played in a band there. And you watched those people drunk, rolling on the floor. Don't you act like you don't know what I'm talking about. They acted crazy. It's like, do you want to do that because satisfying the flesh and the world? Or would you rather do that to glorify me who died on the cross of Calvary, who forgave your sins? When the Bible says he's worthy, 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 worthy. I can remember back when people just crazy. And what was even more crazier, when people get drunk, they turn religious. They want to talk about God. All right, I want to tell you, hey, God's been good to me. I want to tell you, well, he was good. Do you ever notice I've been around people that's drunk or high? You know why? Because down inside, back when God made Adam and he breathed in his nostrils and made him a living soul, somewhere buried in every human being, no matter culture, background, race, there's a little fire in there. The worst criminal in the world has a little fire buried down inside of the soul. The last song, most times, especially at the VFW, because these guys, they were probably from World War II and the Korean War, and they was that generation who believed in God and hot dogs and apple pie. They had a sense of God. And when they got in that state, that mind of alcohol or whatever it was, their place of escape. Oh, shut up. Somebody would come up to the band and say, "Could you play When the Saints Go Marching In?" Of course, I was in the world, didn't think much about it. I look back upon that. And they wanted to play the song, "When the Saints Go Marching In." Where are they marching to, soldier? They're marching to heaven. They're marching out of the world. They're marching out of a life that is degrading and terrible and horrible.
Yes, amen.
Could you just play "When the Saints Go Marching In"? And we would play that song. And you'd see them trying in their staggered way to try to dance to "When the Saints Go Marching In." When I came to God, I worshiped Him with all of my heart, all of my soul. If I could dance for the devil out there, I want to dance for the one who hung on the cross of Calvary, who saved my soul, who delivered me out of the world of darkness into His marvelous light. I need the fire. You need the fire. The church needs the fire. We need the fire to reflame and rekindle our very soul. That the world can be drawn to the heat from the coldness and the cruelty of the world. Let's stand together, shall we? I need the fire. There's a need for the fire in these last days, church. There's a need for the fire in this last day. You see, it's not just the shouting or the worshiping or the running the aisles or things like that. It's the fire that is the igniter. It is the drive. It ignites you to live better today than you did yesterday. It's the igniter to draw closer to your Savior today than you were yesterday. This world needs the apostolic church. The world needs this apostolic Pentecostal church. And when they turn their face towards Zion and say, "Let's join them," they need to come into a place where it is the warmth of the fire that you was baptized with. Wow. There he goes. "The manna take away the sins of the world," John said. And oh, by the way, He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and the fire, the igniter. the anointing. Would you just lift your hands right now? Let's thank Him for the fire of the Spirit, the igniting. God, don't ever let the fire go out of the church. Father, don't let the fire ever, Lord, go out of our lives. Let them be ignited within us. Let the glory of the Lord be shown around about. Let the glory of your Spirit, Lord, fill us, Lord. Lord, whoever you draw, God, to you, Lord, would you draw them to the flame of the church, to the fire of the church, to the igniting of hope in people's lives. For we need the fire.